Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, a special place just for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to my. Let not your heart be troubled, do not be afraid. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but child, be of good cheer.
His faith looks up.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to The Looking Up Show, and it's Wednesday, the 27th of November. We are less than 1 month away from Christmas. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable, yes.
It's unbelievable, but we better believe it. My name is Charissa, and I'm joined here in studio by my co-host, Danny. How are you?
I'm praising the Lord and feeling nice and cool in here.
You are.
Because outside it's like 40 degrees.
It is. I had 40 on my dash today, so it's a very hot day here in Newcastle, but God is good, and we're so glad that you're joining us, and we have such an epic show today. We have two producers.
Not one, but two.
That's right.
And you are kind of a producer as well.
I'm understudying.
So we've got three producers and one who needs to be produced.
So we've got Shell and Rochelle. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Shell and Rochelle.
Shell and Rochelle here in studio as well, keeping us live on air for you all. And because it's a live broadcast, we'd love to hear from you at any time during today's program. 0488-817-624 is the number to text. And what can people look forward to about today?
Well, today we got a special guest. We've got a special guest that will be coming online in just a little bit. We've got a phone interview with Justin Lawman, who is one of the hosts on the Perfect Storm program, which airs on a Friday afternoon.
That's right. Here on this station.
Here on Faith FM. He's going to come. Well, yeah, we're going to connect with him, and he's going to give us some special insights, his own insights into sort of what's happening in the political realm in the US, as well as, this escalating war between Russia and the Ukraine. So, and some other matters as well. So he's going to be tuning in for the first time.
Excellent.
So we've got him as well. We're going to continue our study on the US and prophecy. And, you know, we're going to look to sort of wrap it up today. There's a whole heap more. You know, this subject's not going away anytime soon, as you know, Charissa, because the United States is at the very epicenter of end time Bible prophecy, and the things that we are seeing taking place there right now and that are, you know, escalating at a rapid pace, that we're going to continue to delve into that in the coming weeks, you know, in 2025, especially when Donald Trump comes to office on January 20, you know, the world is holding its breath.
Well, between now and then, Justin and I and Judah, we're actually going over there to the land of the free and the home of the very brave.
So you'll be able to come back with a live report.
From the ground. What's going on in the streets?
Wow. They're going to the inauguration of Donald Trump. They are the biggest Trump fans on the planet.
We'll be back long before that, but we will be heading over, and be interesting to see what people have to say about what's going on over there as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Charissa will be away, and Justin will be away, and little Judah, and I'll be away up north. And so,
people can still listen in.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have repeats as we always do.
Yes.
Of some of the programs, and you know, if you go onto the website or you download the app and you go onto all the various programs, we've got like four, almost 5 years worth of programs. So if you don't know what to do with yourself,
just go and listen to it. So we should mention that faithfm.com.au is the website to go to, and the app that Danny just mentioned is a great one to keep on your phones, because as you drive around Newcastle, at least the radio towers don't always reach as far as you want them to go with their signal. But if you have the app, as long as you have data, you can have an uninterrupted broadcast of everything that happens on this amazing channel. There's so many good programs, so much great content. You'll be blessed. And encourage your friends. Tell them about this channel also in case they haven't found it yet, because they will also be blessed. Yes, you want to add something else?
I was going to say, I want to give a little plug for my final seminar that I'm running this year. Like I've run a lot of seminars, and I've really enjoyed all the different places where I've been. And this one's just up the road from where we are here in the studio. It's in the Lake Macquarie area. It's in Terralba.
Nice. Very nice.
Just down the road from where I pastor there in Boolaroo. And so this coming Saturday, I've got a Faith FM sponsored program. It's just two sessions this Saturday, November 30. So if you're around the Terralba area, anywhere in Lake Macquarie, Newcastle, anywhere.
Just drive in.
And I've entitled this little two-part series, A World on the Brink, Finding Peace in Uncertain Times.
Sounds like a very relevant program for today, and sounds like something everyone should want to come to.
Absolutely. So the two topics are, the first one, A World on the Brink. That starts at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And people can go onto the Faith FM website and they can find all the details there in the events section on the website. And the second one, which starts at 11:15, is Seconds to Midnight.
Nice.
And that will be followed by lunch.
I was going to ask.
Free lunch.
Free lunch.
Free lunch.
Plant-based.
Plant-based, absolutely.
Oh, right. Well, I think everybody's coming now, so that'll be really exciting. Look forward to hearing how it goes. And if you guys are in the area and you're free, please go check it out. You'll be blessed. And
so that's this Saturday.
Get to meet Danny in person.
And that'll be very scary. That will be the end of the world for you.
Let me assure you, you can survive. All right. Well, that's great. We're going to listen to Sandra Enterman now. And she's going to bring to us a very beautiful song, Trust His Heart. If it's the song that I think it is, it's probably one of my favorite songs, Trust His Heart.
And after that, we've got Justin Lorman.
All things work for our good. Sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not ours. Just don't see him. Remember, you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, don't understand when you don't.
greatest songs that's ever been written. When you don't understand, trust his heart. You're listening to The Looking Up Show. We're coming to you live Wednesday, the 27th of November. And I want to take this opportunity to let you know that today we have a giveaway that's going to four people. The first four people who will text in the code word, which we'll give to you a little bit later in the program, but it's an amazing giveaway. It's a book by Melody Mason. It's called Daring to Ask for More. It's the Pocket Sharing Edition, Divine Keys to Answered Prayer. And basically, if you're looking for keys to answered prayer or success in ministry, or if you're tired of just getting by spiritually and long for more in your walk with God, Daring to Ask for More, this book is exactly what you need. Expect a paradigm shift in faith and prayer. So that's exciting. And Melody Mason's going to be one of the speakers at our prayer conference in February next year. So
along with Pavel Goya.
That's right. So we're in for a treat.
What a double act. That's a wonderful blessing.
We're going to be blessed. So yes, stay listening. But for now, we have a very special guest on the line, I think.
The one and only.
The one and only, Justin Lawman.
The infamous.
He's back. He's back.
How are you guys? It's so good to hear you, Sharissa. I listen to you guys. I have to say, I grin every time I hear Danny Millenkoff's voice.
We do here in studio too.
Cracks me up. Anyway. We've got a lot of good memories. A lot of good memories.
We do.
You know, Sharissa nearly worked with me once upon a time.
She did.
Remember that?
I did.
Anyway. Wasn't meant to be.
Wasn't meant to be, but it could have been.
What might have been?
What might have been? There you go.
Oh, boy. So, Justin, hey, great to have you on board. And you are like the leading force there on the Perfect Storm Faith FM program, 4:30 Fridays.
I follow Carl Morrison's lead, mate. Carl Morrison, he's a guy.
Tornado. Yes.
So that's not Kyle Sandilands or whatever he's called.
No.
That shock jock. We're talking about another Kyle.
With Pastor Phil Yates, we have a lot of fun. We enjoy it, and we talk about, like, a bunch of guys talking about what's going on in the world, and we love Bible prophecy, and we're excited about what we're seeing, but also really sad to see some of the stuff that's happening too.
Absolutely, yes. And obviously, as we see these things unfolding, yeah, the exciting thing is that our redemption is drawing near. But in the meantime, those labor pains are becoming more intense and creating more stress and more problems and more chaos and confusion in the lives of people. So, Justin, some good news that I'm sure you would be on top of, because you're on top of everything, it appears to me. I'm one of your biggest fans. Yes, we've just had the announcement that Israel and Hezbollah have announced a ceasefire. There's been a ceasefire deal a couple of hours ago.
Yes, yeah, I see that. And as a part of the condition, Hezbollah has to leave town, so to speak, as well as Israel. So I'm not so sure I'll be holding my breath on all that yet. It's a really good development if they could stop killing one another.
Mm.
But let's wait and see. Because it's Iran. The Iranian regime is the one that's backed Hezbollah.
Yeah.
They have backed a lot of the stuff that's going on with Hamas in Gaza. So these two powers are long-time enemies. We go back to the Bible days, the Old Testament, and the Persians and the Israelis were getting into it then. And here we are right at the end of time, and they're still going, but it's got very serious in our day and age, very serious.
Mm. Yeah, the stakes are very high, and doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel further south in Hamas territory. They're in Gaza. They're still going for it there, and sadly, you know, people are losing their lives, and children are being injured and maimed.
Terrible.
It's just horrible, and that's continuing.
Terrible.
Yeah, we need to continue to keep that in prayer. But on another front, not too far away from the Middle East, what's happening in the Ukraine, and it seems like the stakes are even higher now. Mm. The escalation has grown in the last week or so. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And
look, and these opinions are not Faith FM's. These are just Justin's, okay? Because I always offend someone when I go on the radio. So I've just got to. It's just me offending you. It's not Faith FM. So it just seems to me that American politics, which has got very brutal, is playing itself out in Ukraine and Russia. And how do I say that? The struggle between the globalist side of politics and the populist nationalist. Now, Trump's side has won, the populist nationalist, and he is very much America and America first. So we're pulling out of Ukraine. We're going to get a deal within 24 hours. We're not getting power. But the other side is saying, hey, we're in this for the long haul. We can't let Russia win. Putin's a tyrant. Now, it doesn't matter which side of politics you're on. All over the world, the globalists and the populist nationalists are going at each other. And it seems to me that this is really starting to line up with the way the scripture describes the world right at the end. And I hate there's so much killing. I wish there could be a peace deal. The Ukrainian people and the Russian people, all these people are just fantastic. And to think of the loss of life, it just keeps going higher and higher. But since Trump has won, the Biden side are doing things they said they wouldn't do, which is directly use weapons, American-made weapons. And unfortunately, they have to be guided by American satellites. They have to be launched, and America's involved. Britain's involved. Now France and Germany are talking about getting involved.
Wow.
Poland saying stuff. This is scary because Russia is a dead set nuclear superpower. Even though their GDP is no bigger than Denmark these days, they're not the force they once were. But when it comes to nuclear weapons and the invention of new weapons, they're still cutting edge. So this has probably greater potential to escalate into something that's unstoppable as a war. I don't know if it's reached that yet. I pray it doesn't. But boy, if someone on one side uses and the guests keep talking nuclear, all these tactical nukes is what they talk now. So it's not a full-blown nuclear weapon that will take out a city, but a smaller version of that. Once you use one, there's no coming back. The other side are going to do the same thing. And this is really, really dangerous where we're sitting today.
Wow. It's interesting. You mentioned the scriptures, Justin, and I believe, you know, there's a number of them, but I just want to tap into the words of Jesus in Matthew 24 and just get your take on this, where he says, and this is Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7. He says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So these are the words of Jesus, and he's talking about this in the context of, you know, these are the beginning of sorrows there in verse 8, which, as we know, is the word for labor pains or birth pains.
Yeah.
So it's in this passage, Justin, from what I see, and I'd be interested in your take on it, but you have Jesus saying you're going to have wars and rumors of wars, nation will rise against nation, which is what we are seeing right now. It's not just in Ukraine and Russia and the Middle East. There's, I think the last time I checked on this World War Report website, there's over 50 different conflicts going on around the world. Some are, you know, internal, some are external. There's over 70 different nations involved in various wars. But it says the end is not yet. And in verse 14, Jesus says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So marry these two ideas of an escalation in war and conflict with this not being the end until the gospel has been shared, which is the good news of salvation, that Jesus is coming back and he wants all to be saved. How do we bring those two together? They seem to be like in tension.
Well, I think now you've opened up a big box.
How much time have you got?
Up until verse 14, up till verse, really verse 13, Jesus is making summary statements: lawlessness, pestilence, famines, earthquakes, war, rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. From verse 14 on, he gives the actual answer to the question, when will these things be? What's the sign of your coming? You know, when will the destruction of Jerusalem happen? And then when will the end of the age come? He actually gives five signs from verse 14 down to verse 31. Now, I don't have time to go through the five with you, but the great sign, the first sign, is the gospel will be preached in all the world. Jesus, God, the Father, Holy Spirit, they're working for the salvation of mankind. They don't want anyone to be lost. They are not caught up on signs and events like we are. They're caught up with saving as many people as possible. We don't know when that day will happen, but he's giving us some signs. There's actually some cosmic signs that were going to come a few verses down. There's a time of trouble such as never was. There's all these, a false coming, a false Messiah is going to arrive. There's all these signs so we would not get deceived. And there's a lot of supernatural things yet to happen.
Yes, yes.
And the trip into the supernatural is just around the corner from us. Because the world's got itself in such a mess. It cannot, just the debt will make your hair fall out. Have you seen my haircut, Danny?
You do well, mate. You've saved a whole heap of money on your haircut.
Just the
By the talking about haircuts, you should see Sharissa. She's like showing off a brand new hairdo. Yeah. Oh, if only we could have eyes
it's
to
the
see
same as it
through
always
radio.
Was, just shorter.
Is that right? Oh, okay,
that's phenomenal.
I take your word for it. The gospel's going to go to the whole. Jesus will not step back into history until everyone gets a chance to be saved. He is not arbitrary, but he's a God of love. And he wants as many people as possible to turn to him. He gives us these signs. He warns us about this stuff so we won't be deceived. Because there's a lot of Christians who are jumping on different political bandwagons. Like there's a prince that's going to come and save them. There's a politician.
That's right.
I want to tell you, Jesus is the he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's the only one. So be careful, Christians, that you don't get caught up in all these movements that are going on, in all these miracles we're going to witness. Know your Bible. Know your Bible. That's the only thing that'll get us through.
Amen. So we can't put our faith and trust in any man, including Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Because they're sporting hats over there. I'm not sure if you can buy them here, but here's one hat, and I'm looking at one of his caps, God, Guns, and Trump.
Oh, wow.
Got the cross on there and
I need
two
America,
guns.
Mate. I need America.
Jesus.
Sharissa might get you one of those for the show.
Here's another one. Jesus is my Savior. Trump is my president on the cap. And so that's where things are at. Now,
it's
Justin,
getting scary, man. This is getting scary. They're getting this image to the beast. Stuff.
Now, Justin, before you continue on, are you free for another 15 minutes? Are you going to be able to be free for another 15 minutes or so?
I can do 15, but then I have to go. I'm at a president's council, mate.
I think you've got an hour and 15 minutes spare, I'm sure. All right. Hey, everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then. So let's go there now to the US. You brought up, because that's our Bible study today. So I think it'd be good to have your insights in connection with Revelation 13. So let's go to Revelation 13 there, Sharissa, and Justin knows these words off by heart because he's preached on them so many times. There in verse 11, okay, we've got the introduction to this beast from the earth, or the United States of America, which we have unpacked on many occasions and will do so once again today. But it says this beast that comes up out of the earth has two horns like a lamb. So that's this church-state separation. It's Christian. So it's Republican, and as in Republicanism, not the Republican Party. Right. And also, so Republicanism and what's the other one?
Democrats.
Protestantism. Protestantism. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a Protestantism. but it speaks like a dragon. Now, we know the dragon is a symbol of the devil and Satan.
That's right.
And then it talks about the image of the beast being formed, and it talks about signs and wonders and even fire coming down from heaven. So talk us through that, Justin.
Let me just because if someone's tuning in for the first time, a beast, according to Daniel 7:17 and 7:23, a beast is a king or a kingdom. It's always a political power in apocalyptic prophecy. So this is the second beast. The first beast, the great state church of the Dark Ages. We get to verse 9 and 10 and we get a riddle. He who has ear, let him hear. You know, he who goes into captivity will be taken in captivity. He who kills with the sword will be killed by the sword. He's the patience of saints. All that, I'm just doing that off my head. Yeah, I hope it's right.
Yeah, it's correct.
Sounds good.
When that happens, that's a date. Mm. Pope Pius VI is taken prisoner. Mm-hmm. And I've been to the place where he went there in southern France. He died in prison. Napoleon's general Berthier, the only Protestant general in the whole army, takes him, puts him in prison.
Oh, wow.
And he dies in prison.
I told you, that's all we have.
He was a Huguenot. Wow, he's a Huguenot. And that's why he chose him, because no Catholic general could put the Pope in prison.
Wow.
Like, wow, that's the end of your salvation. So they get a Huguenot, and he goes and does that. That's a date, and we have a date in history. Mm. That's 1798, and that's nailed down in concrete. At the same time, 1776 is the War of Independence. 1782, they've won it. The Constitution's ratified. All these events are happening. 1780s, coming up to this same time. So as the first beast is going into
captivity.
Captivity, this new lamb-like one coming not out of the sea, the multitudes, nations, and tongues, it's coming out of the earth, an unpopulated place. Mm. There's very few countries emerging at that time. You could say revolutionary France was, but they're atheistic. They're not lamb-like. Mm-hmm. So it has to be the United States. And the United States is emerging as this amazing, read the Declaration of Independence. You know, it's just like a Christian document. It's beautiful. But it becomes like a dragon in the end. And I don't want to offend my American friends. I used to have a green card. I love America.
But you live there.
But this is what the Bible... I did, yeah. This is what the Bible's saying. Mm. And we just have to be honest with the scriptures. And before the end, before Jesus comes, this place of the, you know, the First Amendment, no laws regarding religion or the free practice thereof. Before the end, this second power becomes like the first. I make an image back to it, where the church and the government speaks with one voice.
Mm. Wow.
And I think Justin's opinion, not Faith FM's, I think we're watching it happen in front of our eyes right now.
Absolutely. And I've been on so many, just recently, this was, just prior to the election, Donald Trump went to the National Faith Advisory Board. And he had an interview, you may remember it, with Paula White-Cain, who is considered to be like his personal pastoral sort of mentor. And the headline from the Christian Post read, "Trump pledges access for faith leaders directly into Oval Office if elected." This was only a few days before the election. And he said he promised them, the faith office. And by the way, I'm not sure if you knew this, Justin, but guess who's going to be heading the faith office?
Sharissa.
Ben Carson.
Dr. Ben Carson.
Oh, Ben Carson. You know, Ben, I've had lunch with Ben Carson. He's one of the most amazing men I've ever met.
Wow.
Humble. Absolutely. You know, he said the other day in an interview that the Constitution doesn't teach the separation of church and state.
He said that?
He did.
Wow.
Well, it does not, it does not say it, but the principle is absolutely crystal clear.
That's exactly what I say. It doesn't say it specifically, but boy, you won't make any laws regarding religion or the free practice. That's a separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So everyone's got to get a grip here. We love Christianity. We want everyone to be Christians, but hey, I'd rather everyone have the freedom to make up their own mind. I'm not going to force anyone to do anything because God's never once forced me to do anything I didn't want to do. Not once.
Yeah. Well, that's the image, you know, the image of the beast is force, coercion, manipulation, deception, whereas obviously, you know, the image of God, we have that in Genesis chapter 1 where God created man and woman in his own image. And he created them with the freedom of choice. That's why he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there in the midst of the garden so that they could choose. They could choose if they would be faithful to God or not. There was no force involved.
You know who else is really involved? Is Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know Charlie Kirk keeps the Seventh-day Sabbath?
That's that right?
True, yes.
And he's done Bible studies with Seventh-day Adventists.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, he's
I think the fact he does that tells you he's those two are related.
Mm-hmm.
But on this topic, I have to disagree with him. Because our voice is getting lonelier and lonelier.
Mm.
Lonelier and lonelier when it comes to the separation of powers with the government, a secular government, with freedom to worship or not worship or just be an atheist, whatever you like, that's up to you. And I understand why it's changing because of the chaos the left has brought.
Mm.
But that does two wrongs never make a right.
Mm. Amen. Amen. There's a powerful quote here from the book The Great Controversy, and I know that you on The Perfect Storm and your team have been promoting that book, The Great Controversy, which is really, I would say the best book on end time prophecy that unpacks the prophecies from the Bible, gives a powerful, inspired commentary. And, in that chapter, in chapter 36, that's entitled The Impending Conflict, the author of that book, Ellen White, whom God inspired, you know, to write more than a century ago, she writes these words: "God never forces the will or the conscience, but Satan's constant resort to gain control of those whom he cannot otherwise seduce is compulsion by cruelty. Through fear or force, he endeavors to rule the conscience and to secure homage to himself." And so, you know, I think that is just so well put, you know, the difference between
Amen.
The difference between how God operates and how Satan operates. And it's fascinating that there is obviously great pushback in America by those that believe in the separation of church and state. Like, there's a number of institutions that are for the separation of church and state. I'm thinking of one here, Freedom From Religion. Foundation, and there's a number of them, and they are opposing this latest Oklahoma education superintendent Ryan Walters' latest push for religion in public schools, to have this prayer played in all the public schools and to be sent to all the parents. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, and Texas just passed their law, of course, on the weekend.
Yeah.
Putting religion back into schools, and there's a challenge yet to see which states will match it, and Oklahoma's already gone there, and this won't be the last. This, folks, in my opinion, we don't know. He told you before, so when it does happen, you will believe. We don't know dates and times, but it seems to me that this is the big push that's about to hit us.
Yeah. Well, this lines up, Justin, with a couple of things. First, we know that the pendulum will swing. We know the pendulum will swing because you have Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 there to 45, and verse 40 in particular talks about this King of the North, which is, you know, papal-led Christianity, that will come against this King of the South, which is secularism, you know, represents Egypt, you know, in a symbolic sense. Who is this God that I should worship him? So we have this pendulum swinging at the end of time that Revelation 13 and Daniel 11 describes. So this is fitting.
It's all fitting together.
This is fitting the narrative that we have, we are seeing currently
and
right
then
now.
You have your Project 2025.
Absolutely. Supposedly, Donald Trump had no idea about that. Now, if that's not a furphy, I don't know
really
what is.
It doesn't really matter now because he's got the Senate and the House.
I have not. Oh, mate, I'm telling you, that's great. Now,
there are six pages in that document about a Sunday law.
Exactly,
it's very interesting.
Yeah. It is. Justin, if you might be aware, I know that our mate Scaffy on The Breakfast Show, and by the way, Justin, every Monday morning is on The Breakfast Show. He has a segment there.
Right now, let's go on.
There you go, Monday morning. And I think we're going to have to have him as a regular, Sharissa. I mean, this is gold. This is gold. You would never think that gold would come out of Justin's mouth, but it's amazing. Since he left our part of the world, he has just grown in brilliance and wisdom. It's hard to comprehend. But anyway,
Daddy must be
a sign of the times. But the U.S. Supreme Court in the last 8 years has been leaning more and more towards the right. Obviously, with Donald Trump's three picks that dramatically swung the U.S. Supreme Court to the right. I've got this very interesting document here in front of me, and I'm happy to send it through to you, Justin. You'll find it interesting unless you've come across it already. And it's a number of different rulings that the Supreme Court has made over the last 8 years, and it's incredible in connection with religious freedom, free speech, life, including obviously the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Incredible, and the bulk of them are heading in the direction of giving more and more freedom to religion and Christianity, which is good from one point of view, but from another point of view, it can also create other issues.
Yes, and here's the thing that you tried to bring up before, and I went off on another tangent, is the role of miracles at the end.
Yeah, Revelation 13 talks about that.
Look, we can see this onward progression. It's almost like a ramping up we're witnessing, that it just gets more and more and more. But all that can change in a moment, and we can find ourselves, and this is to the person that's listening, that's just putting off their relationship with God. They know it's right. They're busy, they got other things, they got whatever. Be careful, because while there's this onward progression and you can almost time it, all of a sudden one day is like a year, and one event will happen
and everything will change.
Everything will change.
Absolutely.
Just one event will happen.
Just
and
like
everything will change. And I think, just like COVID, we didn't see that. Mm-hmm. That's where we live. One event is going to change everything.
Wow, there you go. Well, hey, that's probably a good place for us to end. And yes, we don't want you getting into more trouble than you already are in, Justin. But we want to thank you. We want to thank you for coming.
I think
coming.
They like it when I leave the meetings, mate, if I tell you the truth.
Thank you for coming. We'll have you again next time. God bless.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds a future and life is worth the living just because He lives. God sent His Son. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He is worth living just because He lives.
Caleb and Kelsey bringing to us Because He Lives, and you're listening to the Looking Up program, and we just had a great segment Justin Lawman.
And it won't be the last.
It won't be the last.
That's so right. We're really blessed to have him come on board.
That was excellent, and we look forward to having him back. And a reminder that we have 4 copies of the book Daring to Ask for More by Melody Mason that are available to the first 4 people who text in the code word. This book will challenge you to recognize the unlimited possibilities that are within your grasp if you will only pray in faith. If you will put into practice the principles outlined in this book, seeking for more of Christ, removing the spiritual breaches and compromises and moving forward in faith, no matter the circumstances, your life will change, your faith will grow, and you will receive answers and will be prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life so that we can be ready when Jesus comes.
Amen.
That's an appropriate book
Amen.
For every listener. So if you're interested, should we give the code word
I
now?
I think so.
Let's do it. So the code word to text in to the studio number is
LU24ASK, A-S-K.
Nice and simple. All together, one word, no emojis, text LU24ASK ask to the studio number 0488-817-624. First 4 people to do so will receive this as a gift from us to you. All right, Pastor Denny, where are we going?
Well, I think we need to continue on where Justin left off. The last thing that we were discussing were these signs and these miracles and these wonders that will turn the world on its head. Just like September 11, you know, Justin mentioned, COVID and how that swept through the world like a tsunami.
Yes.
In a matter of weeks, in a matter of months, our lives were tipped upside down.
Everything changed.
You know what I mean? People were having fights over toilet paper in Coles. Like, seriously.
We couldn't go to church.
If I would have told you in 2019 that there'll be fights in Coles and Woolies and other places over toilet paper,
we'd think you were a crazy prophet.
You'd think Danny's even more crazy than what he is. But anyway, it all happened. We saw it. You know, we lived through that. And September 11, I pointed that out. You know, the world changed overnight, literally overnight. You went to bed. The world was like this. You woke up. We lived in a very different world.
That's right.
So Revelation 13 talks about, this incredible, worship showdown. I have a term for it that I'm struggling to remember now.
The super glue.
End time super glue. I have a subject entitled End Time Super Glue that draws the world together. Democrats, Republicans, Calathumpians, everyone drawn together through spiritualism, through signs, miracles, and wonders.
Title.
And yeah, so that's why I call that end time super glue. Mm-hmm. It draws everyone together. And it's not something I've just come up with. It's right here in the text. So let's have a look at Revelation 13. Okay. Let's take a look at Revelation 13 and then we'll go beyond Revelation 13 and we're going to take a look at, what else the book of Revelation has to say in connection with this subject. So let's start off with Revelation 13 to begin with. So in verse 11, we've read that, already. You know, the United States that starts off lamb-like, Christ-like, and ultimately speaks like a dragon.
Once you unpack that verse, chapter 11, everything starts to make a lot more sense because I've listened to preachers of many different denominations try to make sense of it and they come up with different things, but none of them have pinpointed it as the United States in Bible prophecy.
And that's the missing link.
And it, once you put that in, bang, well, that's the foundation. Unlocks.
That is the foundation. Yeah. Absolutely. And what's happening now in the United States that we've been talking about and we will continue to talk about for the rest of this program, taps into this foundation. This is the United States of America. It's
the only
power that's coming up. As Justin rightly pointed out, he gave us that interesting historical fact about Berthier being the only Protestant general in Napoleon's army. I had no idea about that. And so the Pope is taken captive in 1798. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is during the French Revolution, you know, that started in about 1791. Went for, 10 or more years. And so towards the end of the French Revolution, you have this great event taking place. And it's at that very time that the United States is coming into being.
Now, why wouldn't it be Australia?
Well, is Australia in a position today that is able to, Australia, 1788.
Yeah.
January 26 is when Captain Cook and the first fleet turned up in Botany Harbour. Mm-hmm. And so why isn't Australia, and there's other nations as well that were coming into being, this nation needs to be a superpower.
It needs to be a
global world superpower. And we know that because of verse 12. Read verse 12. It tells us.
And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Okay. So this power will need to force or cause the entire world to worship according to the dictates of this first beast.
That's right.
Speaking of the Roman papacy. Whose deadly wound was healed. So this power, whatever power it is at the end of time, needs to be able to have worldwide dominance and worldwide authority.
Yes.
There's only one nation on the planet today.
It is the U.S.
It's the United States of America.
And
hands down.
It couldn't be us anyway because we come under the crown.
Well, yes, we do.
The Commonwealth and the United States is a republic.
We do. And the crown, the Commonwealth, in the UK, they don't have a separation of church and state.
That's right.
Because the Queen or the King, now we've got the King, King Charles III, I think it is, the third.
Okay, no.
I think it's King Charles the III, the King. He is the head of the Church of England.
That's right.
It's called the Church of England for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's the official Church of England. Mm-hmm. And so it can't be Australia.
That's right.
Or it can't be any other nation in the Commonwealth.
Mm.
It has to be a different, and this is describing a different government.
It is.
You know, this is unlike anything that we've had in history, because in the past, the governments of the day were intertwined with religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the French Revolution was all about. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a gutful of the church and the state being in bed together and the people being impoverished and the people being abused and neglected and despised by church and by government. Yes. Because that's what happened during the Dark Ages. I mean, Christians, people of faith, even in England, individuals like, who was it? Bunyan, that wrote Pilgrim's Progress.
Yes, John Bunyan.
John Bunyan. Do you know he went to prison?
Yes, he wrote it in prison, didn't he?
Did he? I think so, yeah. Pilgrim's Progress. So,
I love that book. And
there were many that were sentenced to prison and many that lost their lives in England, persecuted by the Church of England.
Wow.
So this persecution is not just, you know, the Church of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
They
it's a good point.
Led the way. And today there's persecution in a lot of nations, Islamic nations. There's other nations where there's church and state, where religion and the government are working hand in hand. I was in Iran in 2019, beautiful country, beautiful people, but there they've got your normal police and you've got your religious police. And the religious police can fine you or they can put you in jail.
Wow.
If you're not wearing appropriate, clothing or covering and so on and so forth. Well, there was a woman. Remember those big protests that happened in Iran?
Yeah, I think
a few years ago.
Yes.
And those protests were over a woman that was taken in by the religious police and she died in custody.
Mm-hmm.
And there were protests all around the nation lots of people died. So nothing new under the sun. It's still happening today. And so this separation of church and state here, these two horns like a lamb, they don't have any crowns on them,
mm-hmm.
unlike the other beasts.
That's right, a republic.
That's right.
Without a king.
Exactly.
But it's so interesting as you're talking about that because, talking about how it wasn't just the Church of Rome, but, the Church of England has
Absolutely.
Persecuted as well. And it just goes to show that the coming together of church and state under fallen man is very mirrored opposite of what God is like.
Absolutely.
Like God doesn't force. He doesn't use coercion or things like that. He's a God of love. He wants us to have that freedom to respond to him out of love as well. It's just the complete opposite.
And it's interesting, another point on, is this really the United States of America? People might say, but hang on a minute, Danny, Charissa, the United States, didn't those pilgrims turn up on the Mayflower in 1620 to the New World?
These people know their history.
Absolutely. 1620, you are right, if that's what you're saying. Indeed, we have what's known as the colonial period. And during the colonial period, before the Declaration of Independence was formed in 1776, you have church and state in the United States of America. Charissa, you guys did a series on this.
We did.
On the End. Digital.
We did.
And people can go and access that. What was that series called?
It's called America and the End.
America and the End.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, absolutely. And so Justin, Charissa, and Lyle?
Yes.
Okay, the three of you.
Yes.
So they did some presentations on the United States. And if you take a look at the United States and its early history before the Declaration of Independence, you'll discover that the church and state were in bed together and people were being persecuted and prosecuted. And I'm not sure if any lost their lives, potentially. I'm not sure if they did, but people were sentenced to jail because they failed to abide by the religious laws that were put in place by the various colonies.
Mm-hmm.
Happened in Australia as well.
Yep.
Because we had church and state united in Australia in those early convict days.
Right. I didn't realize that.
And one of the reasons why, by the way, this is an interesting little fact, and because I did a couple of subjects on religion in Australia while I was studying here at Avondale for ministry because I love history. And I discovered that one of the reasons why Australians, by and large, not too excited about religion and Christianity in particular is because during those convict days, if you did not do according to the church and what the church said, you were punished. And guess who was the one often who divvied out the punishment?
Who?
It was the pastor or the priest. They worked together with the magistrates.
Wow.
To divvy out the punishment. And so the convicts, they hated these priests church. And the church that was often seen as an extension of, you know, the cruelty they were experiencing by, you know, the political arm of the government.
So interesting, the history of it.
Absolutely.
So you were saying something about the glue of spiritualism.
Okay, yeah, let's go there. So we've just read verse 12, so we've discounted every other nation apart from the United States because no other nation.
Global power.
Absolutely. Well, it causes the earth, the whole earth.
That's global.
That's very much global. So let's take a look at how it's going to happen.
Sure.
Verse 13 and 14.
He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived.
Okay, so what do we have here?
We've got miracles, signs, you know, coming, fire coming down from heaven onto the earth, and it's something people see.
Mm-hmm. Is it deceptive? Is it going to make an impact?
It looks like it does.
It's going to make a huge, huge impact. Mm-hmm. This is going to be global, as Justin pointed out and as Scripture points out, and the impact will be beyond what we can imagine.
It was
beyond
interesting. What we
can. This is going to be a nuclear experience.
Whoa, that was a
nuclear
good word.
Experience.
I liked what Justin said. He said a trip into the supernatural.
Yes, indeed.
That was a good one, what you said.
Well,
yeah,
this
a nuclear supernatural
experience, phenomena. It will be. Because when we think of nuclear, we think of something that is, you know, just devastating, beyond comprehension. You know, the most deadly weapons that we have at our disposal are nuclear weapons, you know, where hundreds of thousands of people can be incinerated in a matter of moments. You know, it's just horrific to even think about. You know, we've got the atomic bombs that fell on Japan, you know, at the end of World War II as an illustration. And we've got nuclear weapons, Charissa, now that are 30 times more powerful than those bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 30 times more powerful. Wow. And they wiped out 70,000 and 100+ thousand, those two bombs. So anyway, back to this. Now, we know that deception is going to be the aim of the game because Jesus told us that. Let's go to Matthew 24.
Yes.
Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, if you have a look at what Jesus here said in Matthew 24, he talks about false Christ and false prophets in the earlier verses in Matthew 24. But then he zeroes in with the end time scenario just before he returns. Matthew 24:24. Do you want to read that for us, please?
For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
Okay. Who are the elect here? Are the elect the atheists?
No.
Are they the agnostics?
No.
Are they Muslims, Hindus, no. Buddhists?
They would be people who profess faith in Christ.
These are people who profess faith in Christ. So even they will be at risk of being deceived if they do not have their eyes firmly fixed on the Scriptures.
That's right.
On the Scriptures.
Because this is the only thing that doesn't
absolutely,
change.
Absolutely. And Jesus says, see, I've told you beforehand. So Jesus is saying there's going to be great signs, miracles, and wonders. All right, let's go to another end time passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we're doing a bit of a Bible study on this. Mm-hmm. And this is so important because I'm going to share with you in connection with something, a movie that's just come out a few days ago.
Okay.
That is Satan's way of setting up the world, okay?
Yes.
Because this is not just going to be Christians. This is going to be worldwide. This is going to be that's nuclear. Right.
Yes.
Okay, this nuclear deception. Okay, what did I say, 2 Thessalonians?
2 Thessalonians.
Chapter 2, I need to get there myself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and here we have a description of this great apostasy.
Okay.
Okay, verses 3 and 4 speaks of this falling away, this man of sin, which is speaking of the Roman papacy. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on and it describes, you know, the main focus and intent of this power will be to go against God's law, you know. Then the lawless one will be revealed.
Yes.
That's verse 8. Now, if you want to read from verse 9, please, all the way through to verse 12.
The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep going.
What is Satan going to be using at the end of time?
All power, signs, and lying wonders.
Wow. Okay, continue reading.
And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe. Oh, it doesn't say a lie. It says the lie.
The lie. This is that final end time lie that Jesus said would possibly even deceive who?
The elect.
The very elect, if they do not have their eyes fixed on the truth. And what's the truth?
Jesus.
Jesus and his word is the truth. Keep reading.
That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Okay, so why are they condemned? Because they did not have access to the truth?
Because they didn't believe it.
But instead, what did they believe?
Had pleasure in unrighteousness.
And they believed in the signs and the wonders and the miracles.
The lying wonders.
The lying wonders. They put their faith and trust in what they could see, what they could hear, what they could feel.
Yes.
Rather than in the clear word of God. Mm. And Satan knows, and we've talked about this at length, Satan knows that the majority of people, it doesn't matter what background they are, their philosophy is, I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. Seeing
That's right.
is believing.
Right.
They would rather believe in their senses, put their faith and trust in their senses, rather than in the word of God.
Oh, wow. You know that book we keep talking about, The Great Controversy, mm-hmm. in the introduction there is a sentence that says that we should use the Bible as the test of experience, of every experience, not just what, you know, we have to filter even what we see and what we feel through the filter of God's mm-hmm. word, because we can't even trust our senses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense when
Absolutely.
You read these verses.
Absolutely. And so we've got that very clearly. Let's go to another scripture.
Yes.
This is such an important message. So let's go to Revelation 16:13.
Okay.
Here in the battle of Armageddon, all right, this is the sixth plague, mm-hmm. the seven last plagues that sadly fall on all those that have the mark of the beast. Notice what it says in Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14.
I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
So what will be that end time super glue? What will be that nuclear glue that will bring the world together? These are the kings of the world. These are the political leaders of the world.
Yeah, it says these three unclean spirits, these, like, it's demons.
Demons.
Fallen angels.
This is spiritualism. This is spiritualism. This is demonic activity at the end of time that will bring the dragon. Mm-hmm. The dragon is the devil and Satan.
Yes.
The beast, that's speaking of the Roman papacy, and the false prophet, that's another term for the United States of America or Protestantism.
Oh, wow.
And guess what it says, Sharissa? It says they are like frogs.
Yes.
Why frogs?
Aliens.
We're going to get to that. I've got some huge insights on the frogs. Oh, boy, you want to know where the frogs come
from.
We
do. We want to know.
Why does Revelation talk about the frogs? You want to know.
Stay with us. Zach Williams is going to bring to us a rescue story, after which we will hear all about the frogs.
Well, there I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. There you were. Your hand, you met me there.
And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You are, you are. You are my rescue story. You are, you are. You were right in the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. Oh, you see, your songs of redemption, 'cause every time I ran away, you were louder than my shame. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You're my testimony. Oh, 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 you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You're my testimony. Oh, 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 you never gave up on me. No, you never gave up on me. This is my testimony.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Zach Williams bringing to us Rescue Story, and you are listening to the Looking Up show. A reminder, the code word for today's giveaway, Daring to Ask for More by Melody Mason, an amazing book about how you can experience God's power in your life through prayer and experience his answers to your prayers, is the code word is LU24ASK. Text LU24ASK, A-S-K, to our studio number here, 0488-817-624, to receive your copy. That is provided, of course, that you're one of the first four people to respond to this message. So we've been just unpacking something amazing, and you were going to tell us all about the frogs.
Yes, the frogs. I've been wondering, you know, because everything in Revelation has significance. Mm. You know, God does not use language just, you know, for no good reason.
Yep.
He uses every word, especially the symbols in Revelation. Everything has a purpose, has a meaning, and the majority of the symbols are unlocked through the Old Testament.
Right.
So when I was reading this and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs,
yes,
Revelation 16:13, which we've read, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, you know, performing all these signs, I'm like, why the frogs? Right. Why the frogs? Okay, how do frogs catch their prey?
They stick their tongues out.
Through their tongues. Lies, through the tongue. Okay, that's number one.
Good one.
That's number one. Lying prophets. Okay, through the tongue. Yes. That's number one. Okay, catching their prey through the tongue.
And that's exactly what Satan did in heaven.
The serpent.
He told tales of lies.
Yeah, and how did Satan deceive Eve? Through his lying serpent tongue. Very good. All right. But there's another reason. The plagues. Let's go to the 10 plagues of Egypt. So in Exodus chapter 8, in Exodus chapter 8, there we have the second plague. So the first plague was, you know, the waters becoming blood. The second plague was the frogs. Right. Okay. God said, you know, the frogs are going to, you know, invade Egypt. And that's exactly what happened. Now, Pharaoh and his magicians, Pharaoh's magicians were able to counterfeit the first plague, which was the water becoming blood. They were able to counterfeit that through demonic activity, I believe. You also, before that, you've got the snake. You remember the Aaron's rod turned into a snake, and their rods also turned into snakes, but Aaron's rod ate up all their snakes. You remember that?
I do.
So they went home without their rods.
I saw that in the movie too.
You saw that in the movie? that Moses movie? All right. Yeah. So the first plague was counterfeited. The second plague is also counterfeited.
That's right.
If you want to read that in verse 18. So this is Exodus chapter 8, verse 18.
All right.
Sorry. Exodus chapter, what did I say? Exodus chapter 8, verse 7. Verse 7.
So, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. So they copied it.
Uh-huh. So then we discover the third plague, which is lice. Okay.
Yes.
But have a look at now what happens, verse 18.
Okay. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast.
And then verse 19.
Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said.
So what was the last counterfeit miracle the magicians of Egypt were able to do?
Frogs.
Frogs. Go back to Revelation 16. What is the last counterfeit? And the sixth plague is before the seventh plague. What's the seventh plague? It's the coming
of Jesus.
The coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus. The earth is shaken.
Yes.
The words, "It is done," are shared from the throne room of heaven. And so you have the frogs. This is Satan's final attempt to deceive the world.
Okay, reading from 16 again.
Yep, 16. Verse 13, yep.
And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
There you go. And then under the seventh plague, guess what happens to this triune counterfeit system set up by the devil himself. If you want to read verse 19.
Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
Okay, so this great city, Babylon, which is these three powers, they are part of Babylon.
Right.
This is end time Babylon.
Right.
They are divided into three parts. It all falls apart because Jesus returns.
Mm.
Isn't that powerful?
Very powerful.
So this is really, really important because spiritualism is going to be at the end of time. A couple more scriptures from Revelation so we can really nail this down. Revelation 19, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 19, verse 20.
Bible says, then the beast was captured and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Okay, so who is it, the one specifically here in verse 20 that works signs?
The false prophet.
The false prophet. And who is that? That's the United States of America. That's the United States of America. So
and we call it a false prophet because of verse 11.
Exactly.
Of chapter 13.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you have this power that is lamb-like but ultimately speaks like a dragon.
So it's and a false prophet.
False prophet. Because in the Bible, you've got true prophets and false prophets.
Right.
And the false prophets, guess what they continually cry out? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Mm. Peace and safety. Did you say peace and safety?
I did.
Let's see what it says there. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3?
For when they shall say peace and safety,
mm-hmm.
then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
So can you see all the pieces coming together?
I can.
There's going to be a time of peace and safety. Now, let me share with you once again from that book, The Great Controversy. Okay, these are really interesting words. And there's also Revelation 20, verse 10, which we won't look at, but there, once again, it speaks of, you know, these three end-time powers and miracles, signs, and wonders. But have a look at this. This is what she writes. This is what Ellen White writes in connection with this end-time showdown. She says, in the Great Controversy, that chapter 36, The Impending Conflict, we'd encourage everyone to get hold of that book. Read it, listen to it. Everyone needs to read this book. She writes, through the two great eras, the immortality of the soul, okay, that's spiritualism, mm-hmm. and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter, that is Sunday sacredness, creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, signs and wonders and miracles. You know, this fire coming down from heaven. They're going to see this as the work of God. Church and state uniting will be seen as the good for the nation.
Right.
Isn't that what our friend Donald Trump said? In his, where is it? Where is it? Here we go. This is from the God Bless America promo. This is what he said. We have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be a great nation. He says, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. And by the way, one of those Bibles is $1,000.
What?
Yeah, one of those Why? Donald Trump Bibles. It's a special edition.
Why? Did he sign it?
No, he didn't sign it. It's not, it doesn't have his actual, probably got a, yeah, well, it's got a signature that's not like done by him, but like, you know, generated. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? He says, we must make America pray again.
Make
America pray again. Pray and get educated, get motivated, and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back and to make America great again. And he says, you know, we need to get God back into the nation. We need to bring religion back into the nation.
What a surreal time to be alive.
This is it. Is the United States ready? And are they prepped to receive these signs, miracles, and wonders and believe they are from God?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Primed for it.
They are primed for it. They've been set up. She goes on. So the Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience.
Mm.
And then she goes on, listen to this. As spiritualism more closely imitates the nominal Christianity of the day, it has greater power to deceive and ensnare. Satan himself is converted after the modern order of things. He will appear in the character of an angel of light. And that's from 2 Corinthians, mm-hmm. you know, chapter 11. Through the agency of spiritualism, miracles will be brought, the sick will be healed, and many undeniable wonders will be performed.
Mm.
And as the spirits will profess faith in the Bible, can you believe it? The demonic spirits will profess faith in the Bible.
It's lying wonders.
These are these lying wonders to deceive, if possible, even who?
The very elect. And even Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He came at him with scriptures.
Absolutely.
He knows the Bible back to front.
Absolutely.
And twists it to his own good.
That's the point. These lying prophets use the word of God, but they twist it.
Mm-hmm.
They twist it just enough so that it ends up being poison. And you only need one drop of poison in a glass. That's all you need. You don't need half a glass of poison. You just need one drop, and that's enough to take you out. Isn't that true?
That's so true.
Then she goes on, she says, as the spirits will profess faith in the Bible and manifest respect for the institutions of the church, their work will be accepted as a manifestation of divine power. Mm. That's that fire coming down from heaven. So wow. This Satan, who is an angel of light, and you can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14. And, you know, it's going to be incredible.
So you think we're not far away from that?
We are not far away from that. Let me share with you just this other statement. This is really incredible. She says, papists, from the same chapter, papists, Protestants, and worldlings. So that's everybody else.
Everyone
else, the whole world, will alike accept this form of godliness without true power. And they will see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of the world and the ushering in of the long-expected millennium, peace and safety.
Wow.
Wow. We are there. We are right on the verge. Yes. Everything has been set up, Charissa.
Now, we've felt like we've come to this verge many times before, but there's something a little bit different about this time, you think?
There is. I have not seen in all my time of sharing on Bible prophecy in connection with the United States of America in particular, which is the epicenter of end time prophecy, I have not seen this push to bring religion and government together like at this point. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
Never seen anything like it. So this is really unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Unprecedented. It's just light years between what we see now and what we've seen under the Reagan administration. You know, he tried to, you know, really cozy up to the evangelicals that really had a big part in putting him into power. And there's been others as well, George Bush, you know, Republicans in general, but nothing like what we see today. Wow. I mean, it is
very exciting.
It is just, yeah, it is exciting.
I mean, it's surreal. It's sobering. But it is exciting too because it means we're nearing the return of Jesus. It's surreal because we've talked about this for years and it's happening. And it's sobering because these are very serious times.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, J.D. Vance, the vice president, do you realize that he was an atheist once upon a time? And he became a Roman Catholic. And there's this really amazing article that I came across that is entitled J.D. Vance Used to Be an Atheist. What He Believes Now Is Telling. He's not an evangelical Christian. He's a Catholic of a very specific type. And guess what specific type he is?
Tell us.
He wants to bring back morality. He wants to bring back family values. He wants to bring back those absolute fundamentals of the Catholic faith, which you and I agree with, you know, the family, the bedrock of society,
that's right.
Morality, and so on and so forth. But where that will lead, and ultimately Catholic teaching is about promoting the coming together of church and state. That's what it's always been. They kind of distance themselves at the moment, and since, you know, Vatican II and so forth. But really that is at the very heart of Roman Catholic Church doctrine, to have the influence of the church in the government.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. We've got a little bit more to share with everybody just after this song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, by Randall Goodgame. And look, if you have any thoughts or comments you'd like to make on our discussion, we'd love to hear from you. 0488-817-624. But let's enjoy this beautiful song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Lord, open now the crystal fountain whence Thy the fire and cloudy pillow. Georgia of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, let me say, walk inside. Songs of praises, songs of praises I will ever give to thee.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Faith looks up.
This is the Looking Up program, and oh, our time is running to an end.
Can't believe it.
We still got a bit more time, though.
Just
a little bit more time. And during the break, we did hear from one of our listeners a comment on what we were talking about before. She says, this is from Jane. Thank you for joining us, Jane. She
says, I think that's Jane from Townsville.
Do you know? You might know.
She was the one in charge of putting the whole Faith FM program up there, the Globalism, New World Order series.
There you go. It might be Jane from Townsville.
Yeah, she's a regular listener.
Well,
if it's you, Jane, let us know.
Yes. It is Jane, regardless of which Jane, but it is Jane. And Jane says, a sudden and unlooked-for calamity.
A black swan event. Absolutely. And it's just going to catch the whole world by surprise. And the world is really prepped for it. You know, let's just take a look at, well, just a couple, one line I missed here from this book, The Great Controversy. I talked about, you know, papists, Protestants, and worldlings will alike accept, you know, this form of godliness. Mm-hmm. But before that, I missed this out, which is really important. It says here, church members love what the world loves and are ready to join with them. And Satan determines to unite them in one body and thus strengthen his cause by sweeping all into the ranks of spiritualism. Then she goes on, papists who boast of miracles as a certain sign of the true church will be readily deceived by this wonder-working power. And Protestants, having cast away the shield of truth, that would be the word of God, will also be deluded.
Wow.
So can you see?
The shield of truth.
The shield of truth.
Shield of faith.
We cast that away at our own peril. And then, you know, she goes on, she talks about, you know, Satan will work through the elements. You know, Satan will appear as a benefactor to, you know, to the human race, healing the diseases of the people, professing, you know, to present these new and more exalted system of religious faith and so forth. You know, at the same time, she speaks of, you know, Satan causing calamities, you know, terrible calamities to come upon the world, and blaming those that do not honor Sunday, or those that are stopping these calamities from coming, being Sabbath-keeping Christians who do not want to go along with this final worship mandate that will be rolled out, and that they are the ones that are holding back, not just the United States of America, but they are the ones who are holding back the entire world from receiving that peace and that prosperity and getting back on the right path.
Wow. And by the way, it was Jane.
It was Jane. I thought it might be Jane because, yeah, she's a regular. She is a regular. So, folk, yeah, we have everything set up. And let me just share with you on this. I mean, while the music was going on, and we had that beautiful piece, Charissa was just sharing with me that, you know, her question was, well, how is this any different to what we've had prior? Remember you asked that question, and then you answered it yourself.
Yeah, I did.
do you want to share what you shared?
I just said that I feel like there is a real convergence of everything, not only in in the United States in politics and church and state coming together, but just looking at what's happening with AI and technology, what's happening with woke ideology and this gender confusion stuff, and how that's impacting schools. And it's all things that all seem to be happening all at once on every front, and there's natural disasters, there's worse diseases, there's worse, everything's worse. It just feels like we must be getting closer to his becoming. And the wars.
The wars, we talked about that earlier.
But it's the convergence.
Economic uncertainty. Everything is in the mix. It's like it's all happening right now at the same time. Now, we're not excited about all this stuff that is happening. Of course, it's horrible.
Yes.
You know, people's lives are being impacted, are being, you know, destroyed and in a horrible way. But the bottom line is, Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, look up because your redemption is drawing near.
Amen.
And so let's talk about one of these items in connection with spiritualism. Now, today, spiritualism has been rolled out as something fun, mm-hmm. something harmless, and Hollywood has done a brilliant job of being the devil's, you know, chief marketer to the, you know, to the world at large, but especially to the Western world. There's a movie that's just come out in theaters, and I hope and pray none of our listeners will go and watch it or allow their children to watch that. And it's come out on November 20, which is only a couple of days ago, and it's the movie Wicked. The name says it all. The name should say it all. But listen to this headline from ABC News. This was Sunday, just this past Sunday. Wicked tries to harness Barbie's marketing magic in the hopes of defying gravity at the box office. So this movie is taking on board the Barbie theme, you know, this beautiful world, the pink and everything else. And let me just show you a picture. Our viewers can't see it, but this is from Wicked.
Oh, wow.
Does she look?
She doesn't look wicked.
There you go, Rochelle.
Some fairy tale.
Yeah. Does she look?
She looks quite harmless.
She looks harmless as, and this is how the serpent is operating today. So this is Wicked's costume designer took inspiration from the Wizard of Oz when creating, you know, Glinda's bubble gown. It's a beautiful pink bubble gown. And this is how it's all being rolled out. And I've shared with our listeners ages ago, but I need to share it. You just go, and I encourage our listeners to do this. This is what I did. Just go into Google and Google the top 20 grossing films of all time. Okay, the top 20 that have brought in the most bucks for the various movies in all time.
Right.
And when you go and do that, guess what you'll discover? You'll discover between 75 and 80% of those 20 movies. So that's about 15 to 16 of the top 20 movies of all time, guess what they have permeating throughout the entire movie? Spiritualism.
Really?
Magic, signs, wonders, like that Marvel series. They're right at the top. They've grossed $1 billion each on average. Yeah. The Marvel series, you got the Star Wars series, you got Avatar, you've got Lord of the Rings, you've got what's a couple of other ones? I haven't got my list here, but those really top big, you know, the big ones.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but I had a friend who watched one of those big ones. I can't remember what it's called. It will hit me after on my way home. And she had a supernatural encounter that night after.
Wow.
Like, she had the sensation of hands choking her on her neck. She rang me. It was late at night, and she rang me. She was scared, and she wanted to know what to do. And we prayed, and she prayed in the name of Jesus, and that presence left. But those things, like, they're dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have this list. I've just pulled it up from the list that I shared in Townsville. So this is from July. Not so long ago. Let me read them out for you. Check this out. The top one, Avatar, almost $3 billion, 2009. Avengers, spiritualism. Avatar, The Way of Water, $2.3 billion, number three. Titanic, that's got spiritualism throughout it as well. Not all the way through, but there are elements there of spiritualism.
True, I hadn't thought of that.
In Titanic. Star Wars, number five. Avengers, number six. Then you've got Avengers number six, Infinity Wars. Then number seven, Spider-Man. Number 8, Jurassic World. I'm not sure about that one. Number 9, Inside Out. Lion King, yes. Avengers at 11, yes. I'm not sure about Furious 7. I haven't looked into that. Top Gun, not sure about that at 13. Frozen 2, yes, at number 14. Barbie 15, yes. Spiritualism through that. 16, Avengers, Age of Ultron, yes. Spiritualism through that. 17, the Super Mario Brothers movie, yes. Spiritualism through that. Number 18, Black Panther, yes. Spiritualism. 19, Harry Potter, do I need to even say it? And number 20, Star Wars Episode 7 or 8, The Last Jedi. It's all there. I just read spiritualism. So this is being rolled out, preparing the world. At the moment, people are prepared with this innocent version of spiritualism, that it's harmless. It's just innocent, harmless entertainment.
But what is spiritualism?
Spiritualism is the belief that when a person dies, they are not dead, that they can live on. The immortality of the soul is the basis of spiritualism.
And so if people do and have this communication?
Signs, wonders, miracles, wizards, magic, all that, that's all in that basket.
Right. And if someone is out there and they are having communication with people who've died, well, who are they really communicating with?
They're communicating with the devil and Satan himself.
Wow.
And his angels. Yes. Communication with evil spirits is when we decide to tap into Ouija boards, when we decide to tap into tarot cards, when we even read, the back of these magazines that have horoscopes, anything to do with the supernatural other than seeking God's Holy Spirit, seeking the angels of God to guide and lead you and direct you in the way of truth, Charissa,
yes,
is from the devil. There is no halfway house. There is no good magic or white magic.
That's right.
There is nothing harmless about these movies that have spiritualism, that have magic, the occult, witchcraft, wizardry. There is nothing harmless. This is demonic. Mm-hmm. It's poisonous. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I've got to share this with you, my friend. Do you know that Revelation, in fact, go to Revelation 18 with me, Revelation 18 verse 23. Have a look at Revelation 18 verse 23. This will blow you out of the water.
Revelation 18 verse 23. The Bible says, "The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived."
All the nations were deceived by what?
Your sorcery.
Your sorcery. I looked up that word, sorcery. Mm-hmm. And guess what that word is? It's the word pharmakia in the Greek. Okay, we get the word pharmacy from that, depending on the context. It can mean medication. Okay. Comes from a pharmacy, but notice what else it can mean based on the context. And we know that this is not talking about medication that you buy in the pharmacy.
Right.
Okay. This is what else it means. It means magic, sorcery, witchcraft, poisoning, and notice this, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it.
Interesting.
What's going to be set up at the end of time according to Revelation 13?
An image
to the beast. Is that idolatry?
Yes.
Yes. What will be the key ingredient in the setting up of this idolatry, this false idolatry at the end of time that's going to bring church and state together, that's going to roll out spiritualism through signs, miracles, and wonders? It's going to be sorcery, spiritualism. It's going to prepare the way. That is exactly what we read in Scripture in Revelation chapter 13, and that is exactly what we read in that powerful quote from the Great Controversy. Do I need to read that again for you, Charissa?
I think you should.
Okay. This, and it's poison. It says, it's poison. This is poison, folk. Please. I mean, I get very passionate about this, as my friend Rochelle knows, because, you know, we're dealing with the devil's poison, and there's nothing harmless or fun. You want to have absolutely nothing to do with this. You know, avoid this. You know, shun this like the plague. This is what she writes. Back to the Great Controversy. She says, through the two great errors. Okay, what are they? The immortality of the soul. Okay, that's the foundation of spiritualism. And Sunday sacredness. Satan will, not might, Satan will bring the people, speaking of the people of the world, under his deceptions, while the former lays the foundation for spiritualism. What's the former? The immortality of the soul, that the dead can communicate with the living.
Right.
While the former lays the foundation for spiritualism, the latter, that is Sunday sacredness, creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. Mm. We've got Hollywood setting her up. They will reach over the abyss and to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, that is through spiritualism, through Sunday sacredness, and through this Roman power, we will have this country, speaking of the United States, will follow in the steps of Rome and trampling on the rights of conscience. It's there.
Oh, wow.
It's going to happen. And praise God, we've received the truth. And folk, stick to the Bible. We need to have the Bible today more than ever.
Mm-hmm. And we need to believe it.
We need to believe it, and we need to put our faith and trust in the Bible.
Amen.
Otherwise, we will be part of those who will be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
But those who will not be deceived are those that are grounded in an "it is written."
Amen. That's how Jesus overcame.
Amen.
It's the only way we will too.
Amen.
Marion Blythe Pepper's bringing to us "Be Thou My Vision." After that, we just have some final thoughts to leave with you all before we wrap up today's program. So let's be blessed. "Be Thou My Vision" by Marion Pepper's.
Be all else
Marion Blythe Peppers, Be Thou My Vision. And that brings us to the end of our program today. But Pastor Danny, some final thoughts.
Some final thoughts. We had a really great quote shared with us Jane from Townsville. And she shared it from one of Ellen White's writings found in Signs of the Times. Was that correct?
It was Southern Watchman, 1904, June 28th.
Okay, so back in 1904, she read these words. But I want to, they're great words. I want to sort of pick up on very, very similar words to what Sharissa and I read during the break from the Southern Watchman, but it's in the book The Great Controversy, which I'll read to you, which very much mirrors those words. So these are the words that basically Jane was sharing with us. And then the great deceiver, so that would be Satan, will persuade man that those who serve God are causing these evils. Okay, so the context is Satan is causing mayhem in the world, you know, through fires, tidal waves, earthquakes, hailstorms, floods, and so on and so forth. He's exercising his power as God allows, and permits up to a certain point. And then, so he's going to persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath. So that's where everything is tending. That's where the final station is. That this sin, I'm reading now, continuing, this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. And now, Sharissa, we've got church and state in bed together in the United States like we've never had before. Mm-hmm. So it's all ready to go, isn't it?
Amen.
All ready to go. Let's keep going. And that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, that would be the Sabbath, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people. And notice these next words. Preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. So what's coming on the US, my friend, according to scripture and according to what we've just read, is a serious time of trouble. Mm. The United States will experience a very serious and significant time of trouble. What that's going to look like, we don't know. God does, whether it's political, economic, social, a combination, we don't know. But what will take place is this narrative of we need to bring God back into the nation because we want to make our nation great again. To remind us of what Donald Trump himself has said, we have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Bringing back temporal prosperity. It's straight out of the language.
True.
We need to bring God back, and that the voices are going to grow so loud, and through spiritualism, through signs, miracles, and wonders, it's going to bring the whole of the United States and the whole of the world together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So we're in exciting times.
So we are in exciting times, and in light of all of that, what would be the most important thing for our listeners to do right now?
I think what we've talked about is that we need to have a hold of the scriptures. We need to know the scriptures. We need to be in the scriptures. We need to spend time in the scriptures. So Christmas is coming up. We've got time off. Mm-hmm. Let's spend more time in God's word.
Amen. Amen. Know Jesus. Know him for yourself. That's powerful.
Absolutely.
Well, let's pray then, shall we, to close out.
Why don't you have a prayer for us?
Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word. Without it, we would not know what's going on. But with it, we see that the signs are telling us Jesus is coming soon. I pray for everybody who's tuning in right now. Bless them, Lord, and encourage them to make that time to spend with you. Help us to keep looking to Jesus so that we'll be ready when Jesus comes. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Well, that was an exciting program.
It was. It was full on, wasn't it?
It was.
But we're seeing things happening before our very eyes that people, you know, only a few years ago would only dream of. And we're actually seeing it literally happening before our very eyes.
These are sensational times.
They are. And Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line.
Well, we want to encourage all of our listeners to join us again this time next week, as we will be back, and also to stay tuned to this channel because our friends in Adelaide are coming to you with a live broadcast as well, the Drive Time Show. But until next time, that's just want to reminding you that we need to remember that fear looks around, Regret looks back, but faith always looks up. So keep looking up, and may God bless you.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. When there's pain deep in your heart, keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares He will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me. My home.
shall be eternal, pure land, sweet.